Don't deserve it. He's good. Hello? Last week we were talking about praying in the Spirit and singing in the Spirit and those kinds of things, and talked about how the believer's spirit prays as the Holy Spirit gives utterance. And Paul is talking about the private use of tongues here, but in praying and singing, both the mind and the spirit are to be fully engaged. Amen? How many of you understand the value of relationships? Relationship covers, man, a broad spectrum, you know. And I think that the power of relationship, I don't even know how to fully convey the necessity of relationship. Now I'm talking about praising the Lord, because when I get done with my story, you're going to understand why it's a praise the Lord story. But it's birthed out of relationship. I've been this whole week, I've been training another driver to run on the highway flatbedding, and they just bought another truck and nobody's been driving it, and so it's huh? Turn me up. I sound like I'm blowing the walls out now. Can you hear me all right? Everybody, you might want to sit over here. All right. Anyway, I've been training this driver and this truck. You know, they don't have, log trucks have scales on them. You know exactly what you got when they put it on you, because you've got scales. These trucks don't have scales. You're just kind of at the mercy of the guy loading you. And if you run across most of the mills have a platform scale. We're licensed for 105,500 pounds. That's a lot of weight. There's 8 axles. Okay. If you break it all down and add them all up, you can carry a lot of weight. There's a little thing called a bridge, and I'm not talking about a bridge over troubled water. I'm talking about a bridge between a set of axles and another set of axles, and according to the rules and the laws of the state of Oregon, you can only carry so much weight per so many feet of bridge. I've been trucking for a long time, and I got an education this week, because I didn't know anything about the bridge over troubled waters. And so we come flying down the highway yesterday to the scales at Boomer Hill, and they're open. No problem. I weighed this thing at the mill. I know what it weighs. I'm under 105,500 pounds. I'm golden. Red lights come on, you stop, they get out, he comes out, he's got his tape measure out, and I'm thinking, what in the world's going on? He says, here, hold this in the middle. Well, it's a guy that I know. His name is Malcolm. He's a great guy. He's a weighmaster, and him and I give each other a hard time all the time. I wave, and I've got a great relationship with Malcolm. Still. And this is what I'm talking about, the importance of relationship. Because Malcolm says, here, I want you to hold this tape in the middle. And so I just stuck it right there. He said, that's not the middle I'm talking about. I said, well, will it work? Because I know what's coming. And so I'm poking fun at him, and we're telling jokes and blah, blah. And so I hold the tape. Well, I'm 57 feet long between point A and point B. Well, according to their rules, even though I'm licensed for 105,500 pounds, between those two groups of axles, I'm only allowed 91,000 pounds. Well, I'm way more than that. A lot. because I'm 104,700 pounds when I leave the mill. So I didn't get one. And I didn't get one because of relationship. And because I didn't get mouthy and I didn't get ugly and I didn't this and that and the other thing, I just communicated with him and talked with him and said, well, you know, teach me something here. Because I'm legal for 105,500 pounds. I've got the paperwork and the documentation to prove it. But, and so because of, I completely, because it would have been a several thousand dollar ticket. So, he explained to me why and this and that and everything. And so today we made some adjustments. Well, I worked until 6:30 last night making adjustments on trying to change. Because you can change where the weight shows up by sliding things around and air pressure and blah, blah. Anyway, I told that whole story to say I didn't get a huge ticket. In fact, they could make you come and legalize it before you ever leave. But because I have a relationship with this guy, he just told me where I was wrong, what I needed to do to correct it, and let's do better the next time, which we did. I mean, I came back by there today. Everything, the numbers were right. Everything worked out. I changed the way the weight was. Relationships are important. We need to nurture and watch over and care for our relationships. Now, I quit trucking. Well, that's probably not really true either. I haven't been daily trucking for over 2 years now. But I've been back in a truck often enough, blah, blah, blah. But Tammy and I went to dinner over at Seven Feathers. We've ate, you know, we've on special dinners we went to and... And we've seen this Waymaster in there a couple of times. And every time I see him, regardless of who he's with, I always go over. He always stands up. I shake his hand and I give him a hug. He's a Waymaster. Truck drivers don't like Waymasters, period. They just don't. I've made it a point to buddy up, to be nice to him, and create relationship. And relationship has carried me down the road when I should have been getting written up. Relationship with the Lord, when we should be getting disciplined and you know, excommunicated, if I can just go to that length. All these things, you know, we the boot. But because of our relationship with the Lord, He applies grace, just like I received grace yesterday. God gives us grace because, listen, I have not arrived yet. At 90, what, 2, 3, whatever it is, 1, 91, have you arrived yet? Still working on it after all these years, after all the encounters that you've had with the Lord, after all the times that you've seen the Lord move in powerful, mighty ways in your life, you still screw it up. Let's just call an apple, you still screw it up, don't you? Pretty much. Thankful for it. Where would we be without it? And it starts out of the relationship that we have with Almighty God. And look at it this way, Dennis. You ever stop and think that as many times as we've messed it up and as many times as we've had to go back before the Lord and ask for forgiveness and hope to receive grace. It's because of that relationship. God, do you think sometimes He just shakes His head, Bob? They call it wagging your head, because that's what they did when Jesus was on the cross. They went by and they wagged their head. What are you doing? What is He doing? That's what they did. He's up there bleeding all over everywhere. His entrails are hanging out. He's got the crown of thorns. He's naked on the cross. What are you doing? Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing is what He should have said. What I'd have said. I'm establishing a love relationship that was broken clear back in the garden. And I'm dying on this cross. I'm shedding my life's blood to establish, reestablish the relationship between sinful and fallen man and a righteous and a holy God. That's what I'm doing. But He didn't say that. I'm just filling in for Him. And that relationship is what carries us from day to day. Through every trial, every tribulation, every time that we have an opportunity to blow it. Anybody have any opportunities to blow it lately? I've had a few. And I'm grateful that God carries me through those opportunities when I have blown it. Have I blown it? See that? That right there is grace. She didn't name what I did. She just smiled at me. Because if anybody can point out where I've blown it, that lady right there can. But when we pour out our heart and our feelings to God in prayer, we cannot afford to turn off our capacity to think. Don't turn off your capacity to think. True Christianity is, again, neither barren intellectualism nor is it thoughtless emotionalism. And so praise to God can, in fact, be expressed through all different avenues of and methods and expressions to praise Him, musical instruments as well as our voices can demonstrate and bring praise to God. Listen, let me tell you something. When I was told yesterday, just go get in your truck, take this paper, and go on down the road, I was praising Jesus. I was praising. It's just a load. No, it's not just a load. It was a big ticket. Because the standard rule in Oregon is 80,000 pounds. They could have taken me back from 104,700 pounds and went all the way back to the 80,000 pound mark. And I'd been kicking rocks down the road, man. I was thanking God. I was praising God. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 28 with me, would you? 1 Chronicles 15, 28. What did all that have to do with anything? It has to do with relationships, and God ain't done with our relationship. He's just getting good and started. Amen? First Chronicles chapter 15, and in verse 28 it says, "Thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn, with trumpets and with cymbals, making music with stringed instruments and harps. In a great and memorable celebration that was filled with joy and with rejoicing and with dancing, David and the people began to transport the ark back to Jerusalem. Why all the hubbub? Because the ark represented the presence of God. And the presence of God was coming from captivity back to God's people. And so, yeah, it was a big deal. A spectacular and joyful celebration took place as the processional made its way over the 10-mile journey to Jerusalem. All Israel was represented, as well as all the tribes, and the people shouted, and they blew horns, and they played their musical instruments all along the way. But note what happened when the processional entered the city of Jerusalem. Anybody want to take a shot at that one? What happened? That happened right when they was leaving. That happened right when they was leaving. He reached out and touched it, and it was not up to him to touch it, and he didn't touch anything else after that. Your wife, Fred. Your wife. Speaking of Fred. Happy birthday, Fred. God bless you, Fred. Happy birthday to Fred. Forgot all about that. I got so wound up in what I was doing. But look, when the whole processional entered the city of Jerusalem, Michal, who was King Saul's daughter, who was David's wife, reacted against her husband's joyful worship of the Lord. She never even took part in the celebration. How sad is that? And understand this. Why didn't she? Pardon me? Yeah, why didn't she? I could tell you the reason why. Even though she was King David's wife, she was an unbeliever. She was, in fact, an idolater. You can go back and read 1 Samuel 15 and 23 and 1 Samuel 19 and verse 13. I'll clear that all up for you. But watching the processional from the window, Michal saw David rejoicing in the Lord, dancing and celebrating out loud, and she despised him in her heart. Can you imagine King David? Who was King David? Who was he, though? What does the Scripture say? He was a man after God's own heart. You would think that his wife should recognize that and be a part of his life. But that's not the way it was. She despised David in her heart. So through these last number of weeks, we've been looking at all different kinds and different various ways to express praise to God. But I want to submit to you this evening that by far the very best way for you and I to express praise to God is through a life that is lived for the glory of God. A life lived for the glory of God. Now, this is where it gets muddy. What is a life lived for the glory of God? Is it a life of perfection? Is it a life of sinlessness? Is it a life of not ever making any kind of mistake? Is it a life of following the letter of the law and always having your guard up and never letting your guard down, never blowing it? What then does constitute a life that is lived for the glory of God? In fact, let me remind you that Jesus said that if we would let our light shine, people would see our good works and praise and glorify God the Father. What is a life lived for the glory of God? Pardon me? A life lived under grace. That even though I blow it, Bob, even though I mess up, I'm not going to let the enemy lie to me and tell me that you've been too bad, Jose. You've just been too bad. Just give up. You've been too bad. No, come here, devil. Let me show you what God said in His Word. If I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, He's faithful and just to forgive my sin and cleanse us from all right. Listen, if that ain't enough to make you want to praise God, I don't know what we can do. But when I recount my life, when I look back over my life at the times when I've blown it and messed it up so bad, and I come back before the Father and I say, God, would you please forgive me? Please help me. He don't ever say, you know what? I'm done with you. Get up, dust yourself off, and get back in the game. Get back in the fight. Get back in your position. People are counting on you. Right? You might have to go through some repercussion because of it, but that's just part of it. That's part of the problem of sowing our wild oats. I sowed wild oats all over the country, and when I figured out I was got saved, it was like praying for crop failure. It don't work. You plant seeds, guess what? There's a crop coming. But we still have to let our light shine. And we can't do that. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, doesn't give us the right to sin. No, it doesn't. Nothing gives us the right to sin. But when we do sin, we've got an advocate with the Father. Amen? Right. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. I just quoted this, actually. Kinda. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You know what I think can be a good work? When you've blown it, asking God for forgiveness. Asking God for forgiveness. That's a powerful thing. That's a powerful thing. In the same way that a light shines from a stand, Christ's disciples, you and I, must let our light shine before others by letting our good deeds shine for all those to see, and so that everybody will praise our Heavenly Father. I got news for you. Even though I put that on paper, even though I just said that, not everybody's going to praise God because of what you're doing. There are going to be those people that will nitpick and try and find fault, try and find a crack in your story everywhere you go. They're just going to be there. You know why? Because the enemy hates you. But the Lord makes it clear that there would be no mistaking the source of a believer's good works. That's why I have lived my life under this motto. And the motto is that when I have a person with an experience is never at the mercy of someone with an argument. You can argue all you want. I don't care. I've experienced the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy and the love of God. I'm not perfect, and I won't be until I get to heaven. But the old song, He's still working on me. He's still working on me. The moon and the stars and heaven up above. I don't know how it goes. You know how it goes, dear. You could have been helping me right there. But see, I'm going to give her grace right there because she could have helped me. Threw me under the bus. Here's another one. The believer's light shines not for ourselves, but to reflect the light back to the Father and so direct people to Him. You ever feel like the fire's been turned up under your lap? The backside of your lap? You ever feel like the heat's getting turned up? Wonder why? Because there's such a thing as a refiner's fire. Pardon me? My dad and I used to make musket balls for muzzleloaders. And we'd break old batteries apart, weights off of tires, whatever. And we'd melt that stuff down. And now it looks terrible when you're melting it. It's all yucky looking. But my dad would take a stick and he would scrape all the dross off the top, and the lead would be left molten, and it looks just like my favorite color, which is chrome. You could see yourself in it. And so when the heat gets turned up underneath you and I, and the dross floats to the surface, the Lord scrapes that away. And I think He wants to be able to look down inside of us and see His reflection in us. Amen? So don't be upset when the heat gets turned up. Remember that diamonds are created through heat and pressure. Heat and pressure. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 11, "And being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." So Paul prayed that the believers would be filled with the fruit of their salvation, and that fruit being all the character traits flowing from a right relationship. Here we are with relationship again. With a right relationship with God. I wish there was some way I could communicate adequately the love that God has for us. Not only corporately, but individually. Marcia, he's slap crazy about you. Sometimes, this is going to sound so theological. But sometimes I think that God just sits up there in heaven and looks down on us as individuals and goes, and because he knows everything, he's like, watch this. Just wait. Just wait. And he loves us. Tommy, he's proud of you. He just can't hardly stand himself. We shrug our shoulders and go, because we aren't him. But he loves us. That's why he sent the Lord to die and repair that personal relationship with the Father. And the phrase refers to the good things that are produced in a person's life by Jesus Christ. What is he producing in you and I? I hope that, number one, it's love. I hope, number two, it's forgiveness. And grace and mercy and on and on and on. There's no other way for you and I as believers to gain the fruit that he's talking about than through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's only his life through us that can help us live in ways that often go against our human nature. Now, when our human nature gets involved, that's when we get in trouble. Our flesh. So when here's the lesson I need to learn. When my flesh gets involved, I should learn how to crucify my flesh, stuff it back down, tell it to shut up. Holy Spirit, take over, and I praise God and begin to do that. That's the routine that should take place. But sometimes that's not the way we do it. Sometimes I let my alligator mouth say things that I shouldn't say. Why? Because I've not mastered my flesh yet. Marion, how you doing? You don't want to talk about it. I'm just fanning myself, Pastor. Glory to God. Every one of us are in the same boat, I'm guessing. Pardon me? Or worse. I'm not going to ask for that. Listen. It's only through a life filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit that we will have the power and the ability to go against our human nature. That's why fasting is important. That's why fasting... I don't want to hear from you, Skinny. I don't like fasting. You know why? Because I like food. A lot. I'm a full gospel brother. I've been expanding in the ministry. I mean, that's terrible. But when we begin to fast and pray, it's not about not eating. It's not about the prayer, although it is about not eating and it is about the prayer, what it's really about is bringing this flesh into submission to the Holy Spirit. How many of us are really good at that? Yeah. If you don't know the fruit that I'm talking about, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 and read verse 22 and verse 23. And there you'll find a list, however it's not an exhaustive list, of the fruit that I'm talking about. So filling and the infilling and the results of revealed as fruits in people's lives always brings much glory and praise to God. God is loves it. God's excited when we get it right. But when we don't get it right, I don't think God's mad at us. I think God, His Holy Spirit, I think, draws on us and tugs on us to get correction. The Holy Spirit does what? Brings conviction. And why does He bring conviction? He brings conviction because we need correction, not condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? Who walk not after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And we've already established that not all of us walk according to the Spirit all the time. And so when we don't walk according to the Spirit, and we do walk according to the flesh, that's when we've got to rebuke the flesh and get back in the Spirit. Sometimes my wife has to tell me, you know what? You need to check yourself. And you know what? She right. That's why God gave her to me. She's my helpmate. She can speak into my life. As believers, I'm closing because I'm out of time. But as believers, our lives ought to glorify and praise God because it is by His grace alone, church, that sinful human beings like you and I can obtain His righteousness. That's it. If you can't figure out and think of any other reason to praise God, church, you need to praise God because of His grace. That He hadn't killed you and killed me and killed all of us. You're right. He killed His Son in our place. And His blood purchased our redemption. Aren't you grateful for that? This week, spend some time on purpose between now and Sunday. Just spend some time on purpose thinking of and praising God. Think about ways to praise God and then praise God. We used to sing an old song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Listen, if we would begin to count the blessings that we have, we'd quit fretting about all the stuff we don't have. Amen? Can we just pray tonight? Father, I just ask You to meet our needs. God, there are those of us in the room, there are those of us watching by way of the internet tonight that are desperate for Your touch. God, we blow it. We've blown it again. We blew it yesterday, and we're probably going to blow it again tomorrow. But God, we ask You to help Your Spirit to rise up inside of us. And God, give us the ability to shove our flesh down. God, to crucify our flesh, to put our flesh in its place. And Father, I thank You for it. And I pray tonight, God, that You'd give us grace and mercy, even when we don't deserve it. Give us grace and mercy. Guide us and direct us. Help us to seek Your face in every situation. And I thank You for it all. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your week. Ladies, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. Friday night, men, right here, 6:30. Potluck this Sunday.